Amen. Amen. Let me just give you a couple other just quick announcement things. First of all, if you haven't yet ordered poinsettias and you want them, today's your last day to be able to order them. I think there are little forms on the stand over there that you can get, or see Karen Goswick, and she can make sure that she gets those ordered for you. One other thing is, right after the service, we could really use help setting up the tables and the chairs for tomorrow night, because that's we'll be filling this place with folks from our community. And so if you can stay and help us get up, get the tables set up and then get chairs around them, that would be a great, great help for us. Well, one of the questions I want to just start with is, we're here beginning our first Sunday of Advent, is how do you know, or how do you feel that God wants to be able to speak into your life this Advent season? Are you open to how God wants to speak to you? You know, it seems like Advent has kind of snuck up on me a little bit, even though I've been planning and preparing towards it. It's like all of a sudden it's here, first Sunday of Advent. And it just doesn't seem possible that it's come so quickly. And so I've had to kind of stop myself just a little bit and just, Lord, what do you want to say to me this season? What is it that I need to hear in this season that'll help me to be the person you want me to be? Take a moment, even this week, just, Lord, what do you want to say to me this season? How do you want to speak your word into my life during Advent? I don't know about you, but this time of year can be so busy and so hectic. I mean, we just announced we have 3 different events this week alone. And it's like, you know, we can be so busy with all those things and miss the most important thing. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for us, is that we won't miss the most important thing. Because God has a word for us that we need to hear. And he'll use any kind of means if we're willing to pay attention, if we're willing to listen. Amen? Well, as we come to Advent this morning and this first Sunday, we all know that there are many, many characters that are involved in this story. We're most familiar, of course, with Mary and Joseph, and we know about wise men and shepherds, and we know about all those kind of characters. You know, there's angels, there's all kinds of characters in the story. But one of those that is kind of a silent one, because to my knowledge, and one of you will probably correct me if I'm wrong, and so just find me afterwards and correct me, but I don't know that he's ever quoted, but he's a significant part of the story. And his name's Joseph. I don't know that he's quoted, and I'm just going by memory at that point, and I didn't really look that up. I probably should have, but you tell me afterwards if he's quoted somewhere. But he's overall fairly silent in the whole story. But I want us to begin today by turning to Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. So if you have your Bibles, take out your phone, whatever you're going to do. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is what we read. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This morning, I want to just focus on four basic things about Joseph and how he becomes really, for us, a really good model for the living of life. The first thing I want us to just highlight, and you have in your bulletin there just a simple little outline if you want to fill in blanks and that type of thing. But the first thing about Joseph is that here's Joseph facing a dilemma. It starts with a dilemma for Joseph. It says here in this scripture that we just read that they are pledged to be married. Now, in our culture, we understand engagement as being kind of a promise of sorts between a couple that we're going to be married. But we have to realize that in biblical times, especially at this point in the New Testament days, that a pledge to be married was way more than what the typical understanding of engagement is today. I mean, because in our day, engagements can be broken off fairly quickly, simply whatever. It might not be easy, but they can happen, and it doesn't require a written out divorce paper. But in this particular time, Mary and Joseph have been pledged to one another, and the families have been involved. Money has been involved. There's been the dowry exchange. There's been other things that have gone on between, and that anticipation of the wedding is out there usually about a year after the betrothing or the pledging has taken place. And that's why even here, Joseph is described as her husband, even though they have not yet reached wedding day yet. They are pledged to one another. The promise is so strong that to break it, you have to have an actual divorce paper written up. And so here's Joseph, who's faced with this dilemma. Because what he has found is that Mary's pregnant. We can imagine the scandal in our day, but imagine it even more so in biblical days. The scandal of this girl, and realize too that Joseph, the normal time for Jewish young men to get married is between 18 to 20 years old, and for Jewish girls, 14 to 16 years old. And Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. What a dilemma. They are pledged to be married. They have had already the exchanges of those promises that are going to be leading to their wedding day. And Joseph, all of a sudden, has a lot of things going through his mind, things that he can't even really bring himself to fully believe, because his knowing of Mary to this point would not lead him to believe at all that anything like that could happen, that somehow she would have been with another man, because, of course, that would be the only way that this could be, that she would be pregnant. This is a dilemma that Joseph has to deal with. It's a tough one. And part of the toughness of it is that Joseph is described here as a righteous man, a man who followed the laws of God, that wanted to do things right. And all of a sudden, he's faced with a situation where Mary is pregnant, they're pledged to one another, and you can only imagine how his heart is broken as he had anticipated the day that they would get married. He may have been angry as well. He certainly was confused, because he knew Mary to be a person also of character. Well, He works things out in his mind to this point and decides that the best thing he can do is to divorce her quietly, is the way the scripture puts it. See, the last thing that Joseph wanted to do was to expose her to this public disgrace, and a lot of times they would. They were going to shame the person who got pregnant and they weren't married. You would shame a person like that. Make it public. See what they did to me. But Joseph, even at this point, before knowing anything else, has already determined that that's not how he works. That's not how he's going to do things. He's going to go about the divorce, but he's going to do it in a private way to where she is not shamed publicly. Joseph has to deal with the dilemma. And one of the things that in our lives, every one of us at times are going to face dilemmas, things that bring questions to us, things that make us wonder what to do, how to do it. We've all been there, haven't we? Where we face a situation where, what am I supposed to do with this? How do I act? How do I react? How do I approach this? But that brings me to the second point I want to share with this, because this is what Joseph needs. He needs direction. And when we're facing a dilemma, that's exactly what we need too, isn't it? Lord, help us to know what to do and how to go about it. One of the amazing things of this particular story is that the Lord brings the direction that he needs while he's asleep. Many times the Bible talks about dreams. Dreams that God uses to speak into their lives. And maybe some of you have had those kind of times where you've had a dream that you knew really came from God. You knew that God had used that to be able to help you with whatever it is you were dealing with. And in this particular one, we find an angel of the Lord in his dream say this to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph needed direction. He needed it because he didn't know if Mary had been unfaithful to him or not, but it sure seemed like that was the case. He needed direction because he needed to know that divorce wasn't the only option for him. And he needed direction because he didn't realize that God was up to something. God was up to something that he didn't understand, that he had not anticipated for sure, and that he didn't have any context for really getting a grasp on what it was. He needed direction. Matthew helps us understand that what God was up to was the fulfilling of promises made hundreds of years before. The prophet Isaiah. We read some of the scripture from Isaiah back in when we did our Advent reading. God was up to something, and God was there to make sure that Joseph knew the truth, that he knew that Mary had not been unfaithful to him at all, that in fact what was taking place was something from God, something he may not be able to comprehend or fully understand, but God was doing something to where it was through the Holy Spirit that Mary was pregnant. I mean, honestly, try to wrap your head around that. There's no way for us to fully comprehend what this really means and how this works, except that God can do what we've never imagined he could do. And so here was Joseph facing a dilemma and needing direction, and the Lord gave him the direction that he needed. The reality is, for all of us, as we face various dilemmas in life, we will need the direction of God, won't we? And we need to turn his direction to be able to hear what he might have to say to us. And it may come through a dream, but more likely than not, it will come through scripture, it will come through a message, it will come through some kind of teaching of God to help us realize this is the way, walk in it. Do what you know God speaks to you about doing. We need direction. The third thing I want to highlight in the scripture is this, that Joseph makes a decision. In verse 24, we're told that when Joseph woke up, he did exactly what he had been told to do, to take Mary home as his wife. He acted immediately upon the direction that God had given him. If nothing else, Joseph was a man who was committed to obeying God, no matter what. And I wonder what it might be for us to be the kind of people, taking Joseph as a model for us, that when God speaks, when God leads, that our first step is, yes, God. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I will do. I believe Joseph was one of those who was committed to obeying God, no matter what. And I think he's calling us to the same. That Joseph isn't to be the exception, that Joseph is to be the rule, the model, the way in which God wants all of us to live. Committed to obeying him no matter what. Consider the kind of decision, though, that this was. This step of obedience was going to be very, very costly. He would be taking on the shame with Mary. You know, if he had just gone through that divorce and all that, it had all been on Mary. He'd have been the innocent one. When he makes the decision, as God directed him, to marry Mary, that he was going to be joining her in the shame. People would not understand why he was marrying this girl if she's pregnant by someone other than him. He would be joining the shame with her. I want you to just think about something about what God has done for us. Earlier we read out of Isaiah 53, the things he took on himself in order to identify with us as human beings is remarkable, isn't it? He bore our sin, our sorrows, our shame in himself for us. Here's Joseph, obeying what he knew God was telling him to do, and in doing so, identified with the very shame that Mary would experience. Most would never understand the decision that Joseph made. You know, there are some folks that some of the decisions you've made of in your obedience to God, there are some folks who wonder why in the world you've done that. It makes no sense to them. I mean, there are a ton of folks in our world who would wonder about why would anybody give 10% of their income in a tithe to a church? Why would you waste your money like that? You know? Why do we do what we do in following God except for the fact that we're following God and we know it's right, it's best, and it's good? Joseph makes this decision. And this decision wasn't because he understood how the virgin conception took place, but because he believed that what God was up to was worth following. Making yes to God the way in which we live is really the only way to do it, isn't it? So Joseph makes a decision. The fourth thought I want to leave with this is this, that Joseph then practices discipline. Did you notice verse 25? But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, Joseph and Mary were committed to this being both a virgin conception, a virgin birth. And the discipline required was strong. I want to have all of you who are married think back to when you first got married. Maybe. Judy's thinking about that. Imagine the discipline of this young couple to not consummate the marriage, to not have sex together until the baby has been born. They're married. All legal, all everything. But the discipline involved. Can I just throw something in because of the culture in which we live? That when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to that part of life, that God's plan to refrain from sexual activity until marriage is still and always will be the best plan for any couple they could ever have. There is no better way. But I know in our culture, people laugh at that idea of waiting until marriage. But it's still the best way. And it's still God's way. And that doesn't change, and it's not going to change in terms of what God desires and expects. But we also are grateful that there may be some in this room where that's not your story. We also believe in God's forgiveness and His grace and His understanding, but we don't use that as an excuse to just do whatever we want. And so here's Joseph and Mary disciplining their own lives in order to be a part of the huge plan of God. How God longs to be able to use us as we're human. Mary and Joseph were very human. They're not... anything beyond what any of us, but God used them because they were willing to take the steps and go the directions as God led them. Joseph is a good role model for us, isn't he? Think about these steps that we've talked about today, because every one of us will deal with dilemmas. Every one of us is going to need direction from God. Then it comes up to us, are we willing to then make the decisions that will honor God's direction? Are we willing to say yes and obey what it is that God speaks to us about and how He wants us to live? And if we're going to really live for God, it's always going to require discipline in some way. Because there are always temptations, there's always tests, there's always pulls at us away from God's way. It'll always require discipline and call from us that which we may not think we have in us, but here's the wonderful, wonderful promise. We've talked about it and we've sung about it. Emmanuel, God with us. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's the one that helps us be able to live the way that God wants us to live. Do you believe that? Uh-oh, only a few of us. I hope more than that believe that. God wants to so work through our lives that a world will know who He is and what He really can do for a person. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You. Thank You for Your word and for these stories that we're familiar with, and yet, Lord, sometimes we We kind of can tell the story, but we don't always think about what you might be wanting to say to us. But Lord, we believe that today, as we've once again looked at Joseph, that Lord, there's some things for us to learn, some things for us to hear, some things that you're calling us to. Lord, we know we'll all face dilemmas along the way, but Lord, what we know we need is direction from you. So Lord, help us to be a people who seek out your direction, who want you to be the one guiding us. And then Lord, help us. Help us to be so committed to obeying you that no matter what others may think, and no matter if they laugh at us or not, they might think it's crazy, but Lord, help us to be willing to say yes to you and to just carry through what it is you talk to us about. And then, Lord, help us to learn to live disciplined lives in a world that seems to be so full of a lack of discipline in anything. Teach us, Lord, how to live in a way that is under the control of God, to your honor and to your glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.